Today's episode is being brought to you by the new Spotify original podcast, Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty. It's produced by Gimlet Media and us over here at the Loudspeakers Network. Mogul details the illustrious hip-hop career of Chris Lighty and his rise to success for an unfortunate and untimely end. We've told you all about it. The story is broader than just music. It's the story of an American dream. So follow and listen to Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty every week, exclusively on Spotify. Now let's move on.
Hey guys, today's episode is also brought to you by Third Love. Third Love uses real measurements to create bras that fit better, available in sizes AA through G, as well as their exclusive half cup sizes. You can try one of Third Love's 24/7 bras free for 30 days. And if it's not your new favorite, return or exchange for free. Go to thirdlove.com/read now and try Third Love free for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/READ. I tell y'all all the time that 24/7 t-shirt bra, most comfortable bra I've ever had. So put your fit first with Third Love and The Read, and let's start the show.
He's trying to kill me. I asked for the salted nuts. He brought me the unsalted nuts. The unsalted nuts make me choke. That's it.
Like, I don't know.
Of course you don't.
Sorry. Of course I don't.
So, hi guys. Welcome back to The Read.
Yeah.
I'm Asad.
And I am Reality Winner.
What?
Do you know who Reality Winner is?
Reality Winner.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I know something you know. I feel special for once.
Does this have anything to do with reality TV?
No, it does not. That's the name of a white woman who was spoken. Well, never mind. She's been in the news a lot this week for leaking some documents, but then also getting found out for being the one who leaked the documents. She's been arrested and all that. It's been a fairly big story, but that's cool because, you know, there's been a lot going on and I've been clocked out of a lot of it. I was in Puerto Rico for 5 days hanging out on the beach and drinking margaritas, so the few news items I have heard have stuck with me.
Well, I've been at work.
Okay.
And
oh, right, you had shows and shit, right? That's right. So
but I don't know anything about this white woman.
I mean, her name is like Reality Stardust Winner, so Lee, my bad. Reality Lee Winner, and her name is just, I feel like the jokes have been nonstop.
Her mom says she's not a threat.
Well, I mean, she isn't. She is. She used to work at the NSA and she got caught for leaking documents because they noticed that like the paper had been creased, or the leak showed a crease, as in, you know, paper had been folded. So they figured it was something that had been printed out. So then they went and checked the logs of who all had access to the info. That didn't narrow it down pretty quick after that. But yeah, Reality Winner. What a name. And a patriot. Salute that young lady.
Well, this week in Black excellence, since I guess we started with white excellence.
I guess we did. We won't be doing that again.
So this week's goes out to a young man who appeared on my Twitter timeline, I think yesterday, and has gone viral. His name is Aiden, the zoologist. He's an 8-year-old boy from Florida. His sister posted a video on Twitter, and you can now find it on his YouTube account.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But it's basically, this young man is in love with animals and nature and knows way more about it than probably the average zoologist or nature person. Mm-hmm. In the few minutes of the video I watched, I learned what lichen is. If I knew that, then I completely forgot. is it lichen or is it, I don't even remember what the fucking word is. That green shit on trees. I learned about that and the bark and the type of bark that ants like and what they eat it for, and wow, how to differentiate a soldier ant from a worker ant. and also how Asian longhorn beetles got to America from Asia.
I've never even heard of those.
Trees and the food chain and all kinds of scientific stuff that he said without missing a beat because he's just a genius. So you can find him on YouTube, Aiden the Zoologist. He's getting lots of coverage. His sister Brittany has been linking up with him and sees, you know, the potential and passion in what he's doing. They've set up a college fund for him. You can go to a GoFundMe under their page to support his education in the future. And I love that the Huffington Post asked him about his love of nature and where it comes from. And he said it's because of all the cool powers that animals have that are better than ours sometimes. And I just agree with him.
Amen.
So shout out to him, to Aiden, and I can't wait to see you on Discovery Channel or National Geographic.
Yeah, sure. If that's even still a thing.
International, whatever. They have a channel, don't they?
See, I don't know, because I only in like the past 6 months have I started giving a fuck about nature and animals and stuff like that. But now that I do, I'm like all in.
Well.
So.
Also.
I love to see little black kids excited about stuff like that, though. Like, that's just so. Nurture that. That young man is going to change the world.
Yara Shahidi is going to Harvard.
Yes.
As she announced via. Or I could say revealed via Instagram in her Harvard crimson hoodie. And I mean, duh, there's not really much else to say about that. I mean, she just kind of had to pick one.
Yeah.
You know, at that point. And she chose the girls.
See, did she ever tell us where all she was accepted, or did we just know that she got accepted to like every school in the country? Because I don't even remember. But I did see that picture and I was slightly surprised, and I don't know why. I guess because I had never thought she was considering Harvard, you know, not the other way around. But
I thought she was going to go to Spelman.
Well, I mean, I would not have been surprised. But no, I didn't think she was going to go to Spelman. I thought she was going to go to NYU. Or Yale, maybe. So to see Harvard was like a pleasant surprise. Like, yes, young black queen. Like, absolutely. You fit in. Go change the world through Harvard. You and Malia showing up at the same semester means like y'all's class is going to be blessed. So you're going to do amazing things.
Well, I'm going to go on Amazon and get a Harvard hoodie just because you go to school there too.
Sure. Yeah. And, copying off of this little girl. I love it.
I mean, I had planned on doing that at some point in my life anyway, but I don't really know why. Now I have an actual reason.
Yeah, I'm excited
this week,
for her.
In Sick Sad World.
How bad is it?
There's like nothing truly positive here.
Damn, not even a little bit?
Maybe, sort of. Okay, well, let's just start with that then. Apparently, Gucci Mane and Keisha, I don't know how to say her last name. We'll have their wedding broadcasted on BET later this year. Keisha Kaur posted on Instagram, the Wopsters. Oh, God.
How could you not love her?
Are officially a part of the BET family. Our wedding special will be epic. Now, I could go on a rant here about programming, and I kind of want to, but I won't, simply because I like them as a couple, and I was actually quite interested in seeing photos of their wedding. I don't know that I can subscribe to the wedding special. Like, I just don't care. Like, I have family and friends that will be married, and I don't really care about the ceremony. Like, I go simply out of obligation, not because I'm super excited about being at a fucking wedding. So I definitely don't care about y'all.
Oh, like, no, I love weddings. Not only because there's alcohol and...
But if you don't get to drink any, you're just going to drink at home and watch it?
No, weddings without... Receptions without alcohol are trash. But, I mean, it's just... I guess love is not that bad.
They're like, long and they're boring.
I'm lying now.
And they're just...
Why do I like weddings?
They're long and they're boring and there's so much speaking, and then people are like crying even though divorce rates climb like year after year. But I just
See, I've never been in a wedding ceremony that was longer than like 30 minutes. And I've been a bridesmaid like 8 times.
Well, there'll be 30 minutes.
Like, ooh, each except time, Terry's but wedding.
It still feels like 3 days to me. It's just long talking and then scripture. And then you tell them why they care about you or vice versa, whatever. And then you just like unfurl the deepest parts of your heart because you're supposed to like. It's just boring.
And then the unity candle or the unity sand or the unity water.
And then like all of that Avatar the Last Airbender ass bullshit. Like, I don't care about that. Like jumping over this and then breaking that and smashing this and drinking that and biting the cake at the same time. And all of these, like, just sign here and then go away. Like, go on your honeymoon or whatever. And then just let us drink and do the electric slide or whatever. Juke, whatever
the,
it is.
The reception
that we're
gonna
do
is really the fun part. But I like being a bridesmaid, I guess. I don't know. I like taking pictures and all that. It's fun.
The only reason I think I want to watch this one is because I imagine that it's going to be like really fancy and ghetto at the same time.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely
like,
is.
I imagine that there will be like.
It's going to be so many white gators.
Strawberry-tas and Chanel
Holy
champagne
God.
Flute. Or no, like lemonade Ritas and Chanel champagne flute.
Yes.
And like.
It's going to be everything.
Hennessy cheesecake and.
Girls in like Gucci dresses and Fashion Nova shoes.
Like,
I'm so ready.
All of Keisha's bridesmaids are going to be wearing pasties and.
Mm-hmm. Or have a different color hair, which actually might be lit. That might make for like some dope ass pictures, actually. But it's going to be everything. When I heard the news, I said, that's one way to get me to watch BET. That is one way to do it because I will be tuning in for this. Yes.
To watch this.
Yep, I am.
Probably on the internet the day after it comes on. I don't really care to live tweet anymore. Maybe I should start doing it again. But at the moment.
Well, I mean, unless the wedding is being streamed live, which I really wish they would do, but I can understand why you wouldn't. Then I don't think it's necessarily like a live tweet situation, but maybe.
I mean, good luck with that. I'm sure that they're going to use that as leverage to try and get Gucci and Keisha to do a full-on reality show on BET.
Do not invite
of course
cameras
they are.
Into
of course
your
they
marriage.
Are. Of course they are. Of course
Don't
they are.
That.
They're going to do it.
Don't do
and
that.
And they're going to do it. And Gucci is going to agree to do it because it'll give Keisha an even bigger platform than she already has. And he loves her. And why not? And it's not Love and Hip Hop. And sure, they're going to do it. I know they're going to do it.
But like everybody's marriage breaks up on reality TV or because of reality TV. Like, I just wish they wouldn't. It just seems to be a bunch of stress and inviting strangers into your relationship and commenting on shit that they don't really know nothing about. And just why do that? Like, y'all are popping by yourselves. Y'all don't need it.
I mean, I don't really care about the strength of Gucci Mane and Keisha Kay or his relationship.
Like, oh, I don't want them to break up.
I mean, I don't
like them
want
to
them to break up either, but I'm not going to be like, I mean, truthfully, I don't care. And I hope that it doesn't happen because why? And BT has way bigger fish to fry. However, I see it happening. I'm sure it will happening. It will happen. Mm-hmm. And by the time the fucking BET Awards come around, they'll have an ad that pops up during the commercial that says, we got you. And you still don't. You still don't.
I hate how correct this is.
Speaking of Gucci Mane, Rihanna is tired of y'all worrying about her gaining a little bit of weight in her hips and ass. She posted a photo on her Instagram with the caption, if you can't handle me at my 2007 Gucci Mane, you don't deserve me at my 2017 Gucci Mane, with the photos of him when he looked like Grimace versus now where he looks like Thor.
I could not believe people really turned that into such a huge issue. I'm like, because she wears oversized clothes. She's been doing that. Like, that's not new at all. Rihanna wears anything and everything and looks great in it all the time. So the fact that she's like maybe a size 4 now or a 6.
I mean, she clearly gained a little bit of weight. But my thing is, I don't understand the dramatics behind it, because even if she gained weight and she like looked bigger or fuller altogether, A, so, B, she's still fine, C, she's still Rihanna, but she just looks thicker. Like, she looks great, you know, like she just has a
she
little more hips,
like
a little bit more ass,
a little bit thicker legs, a little bit, yes, a little bit more ass, but it's not like I mean, people's weight changes throughout their lives. What? This is just so...
It's just dumb. I didn't expect it to be
ridiculous.
This big of a deal, especially because of how fantastic she looks. Like,
I mean, I saw a bunch of people she's still like pretty. Thinking that she was pregnant. Like,
I saw that too.
Like, rumors for days and days that Rihanna must be pregnant, because why else would she be bigger? Or why else would she have on something that doesn't show off her stomach? Like, because she's a person and she can wear whatever she wants to, and it's her fucking body. And if she gains weight or loses it, it's none of your damn business. Like, ugh, niggas, get a life. Okay. I think the door is not shut. There we go. Don't look at them like that. Ooh, somebody's nervous. Did. Oh, somebody's nervous. I could tell. Hey!
I'm like holding
somebody's this getting together fired. By a thread.
Like, I'm so tired. Like,
oh no.
I'm really, really tired.
Don't do
so
it,
I'm
Brian.
Trying my absolute best to get through this shit.
Don't
so
do
I can
it,
go
Brian.
Home.
Don't do it.
And of course, like, as soon as I finish my rant about being tired, I land on Jocelyn Hernandez. All right. Well, Jocelyn had a moment the other day. She appeared on Instagram Live and hyped up whatever fans she has with allegations that she was going to expose Mona Scott Young and all of the things she's been doing to her employees over the years. She kept calling out to her fan sites or whoever it is that follows her.
Fan sites.
I think there must be two people on Instagram specifically that follow Jocelyn, because she kept saying, I'm waiting for this person to come on and this person to come on to the chat so that she could spill whatever tea it is she allegedly had.
Oh, wow. Got it.
And that's when she's like, okay, I'm going to tell y'all all about Miss Mona, Ray, and I'll be right back. And then she logged off and then she never got back on. I missed the kicker. She told them before she logged off that she wanted them all to hashtag Oprah because she wanted to sit down with Oprah Winfrey.
Sis.
Oprah Winfrey. She wants to sit down with that Oprah. Because I'm sure that since Oprah's success, there have been many other people who have named their kids Oprah. There have probably been Oprahs before that that we don't talk about. Cousins and aunts and uncles that are, you know.
Yeah.
All over here. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that she was talking about the specific, like,
no, I get it.
Oprah mm-hmm. Winfrey, OWN Network, Tyler Perry's Good Sis.
Oh, no.
Oprah. Mm. Jocelyn wanted for people other than Stephen J to hashtag Oprah in hopes that Oprah Winfrey, Gail King's good, sweet friend. Oh, fuck. that she would have Jocelyn on the show so that they could talk about Love and Hip Hop or whatever. Then she logs off and goes missing. However much later, Mona posts some clip of Oprah on her Instagram with the hashtag Oprah. And it's just during one of those interviews where Oprah was talking about removing toxic people from your life and how much that.
I remember that clip.
So then,
how she started removing people from her life when their energies and goals and shit didn't align with her positivity and all that. Yeah.
It's like a classic Oprah moment.
Right.
And that's one of the moments where she was like speaking and using her hand and like her hand would get real high and she would be like doing all of these motions. Yeah. And
I realized in that moment, it's like one of those, like Oprah always has.
She does those, like, it's like she's emphasizing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
like
that
a,
y'all
like a
know.
Verbal highlighter.
Yes, like pay attention right here.
This is where you really pay attention. Write this down.
And the blessing.
There you go.
She does that.
But what she doesn't do is interviews with Jocelyn Hernandez. That's not going to happen.
Well, I'm so confused.
At best, she's getting a Yanla. Take it. I would take it.
I mean, and really, Iyanla is a fit that works, because Iyanla's not I don't understand.
She just had Laura Gavon on her show.
I'm just trying to understand how Jocelyn thought what she had to say was like that salacious. Like it was something like, oh my God, only Oprah can break this story. Like whatever you gonna tell us or expose about Mona Scott Young, I'm sure we already know. What, y'all have really shitty contracts and y'all made Mona a lot of money and everything is scripted? No shit, girl. What else you got? Like
when those very, very hardworking elves came out of her enchanted kingdom, her forest, with an iPad and explained to her, first of all, for half an hour, who you are and what Love and Hip Hop is. They surely laughed for hours and hours afterward at the sheer suggestion or thought that she would interview you. Oprah hardly even does interviews anymore.
Right. Oprah doesn't speak to people no more. It's like a seriously only when I want to type of thing.
And we're talking about like the girls. Like Oprah may sit down with Michelle Obama. She may still sit down with like the Baracks and the Beyoncés and like the girls.
Right. Yeah.
She ain't even gonna interview Mona, much less you.
You know, and at first I thought you was gonna say Mona posted a clip from when she was on Oprah, you know, 15 years ago as like a junior producer or something like that. I didn't know she actually posted like a speech of Oprah's, but like, yes, girl. Not even Mona is going to be on the couch with Oprah. So what made you think that by encouraging your Instagram? You know what? I'm going to let... Jocelyn has delusions of grandeur, though. She calls herself an international pop star.
Oh, yeah, no.
And all this other stuff. She insists that she has hits and is like a touring musical.
And this is the thing
artist
that she always does when she gets into it with people is she says, I have something to expose about them. And then she never does. Or she just makes up something insane and then runs away. Like, right. She does this shit all of the time. That's she's true. Done it on the show. She's done it off of the show. Every time she get into it with somebody, she got a little envelope and she's like, if you don't want this on the blog, you stop with your gossip. Like, shut the fuck up. You ain't got nothing to expose about nobody. And even if you did have something to expose about Mona, and I'm sure she's got loads of stuff that would be plenty juicy. It couldn't touch a fraction of the shit we know about you for a fact.
Right.
So well, I'm just bored. There's that. And then she posted some photos on her Instagram claiming that she quits. One said, Stevie and Jocelyn, package deal, give me my bag or else. So I'm guessing that this is clearly over some money.
Yes, absolutely.
Which, I can tell, yes. Whatever.
Right.
And I guess that was her threatening to take Stevie with her if she doesn't get the bag that she's requesting, which, perfect. Like, please.
I mean, that's just... You and Stevie J could leave the show and I would likely still watch it just because I like watching the fake drama and these nobodies go at it. I do. I get pleasure out of that. So I'm y'all are not really the attraction for me.
The most that Love and Hip Hop gets out of me, and this is factual at this point, is a moment on Mr. World premiere where I find the clip and I watch the last maybe 3 minutes so I can see whoever got their ass whooped that week and who's going to get their ass whooped next week. Mm-hmm. Like this week, I know that for whatever black ass Jamaican reason, Spice was in attendance on the program. Thanks. I mean, why? I don't know.
I haven't seen
but sure.
this episode.
Spice was on there and she's apparently friends with Carly Red, which is also devastating. But I'm not going to hold that against her just yet. I just hope that she doesn't appear on that motherfucker ever again. And next week, Gift or Chest or
nope, I'm lost.
Treasure.
Why did I not see that?
Whatever.
It was right there.
Doubloon, gift receipt, whatever the fuck her name is.
You're a mess.
Is getting her whole entire lace front snatched off by Dime. Why? I don't know. But it's going to happen. That's as much as I know about Love and Hip Hop.
Dime is that friend. Dime is the, is it time to fight? Like, are we ready to fight now? Let's go ahead.
Nobody was
friend.
Even
like,
paying attention to her. And I actually appreciated that. You know, about her. You know, sometimes it's like there's no need for talking. And sometimes what you have, especially in a situation where people are going to break it up, you only have so many seconds to really initiate what you've got to do.
If you really want to be, like, if it's really in your heart and you're not playing around like Jackie Christie running and fake acting like
Yandy Smith.
Right. Oh, Yandy's a good one for that.
I could do this all day.
Yeah. If you truly want to beat a bitch ass, like I can see in Jessica Dahm Hart, she loved to fight.
Yeah, she enjoys it.
I can tell that. It doesn't really matter who. Girl. No, it don't. I can tell she just used to fight because it was time to fight. Like, I just like fighting and you here in front of me. So.
Let's go.
Right. So if you really want to beat a bitch ass and you know it's security and shit on set, you know you got about probably eight good seconds to really beat that bitch.
Not even on these shows. On these shows, you have maybe a solid three. Like, to get started, like, really, it's about your first two licks. Mm-hmm. After that, you're going
to
be challenged.
Well, then you got to immediately pull her wig off if it's not glued on. Something to get it her wasn't. To the ground. And then, oh, God, not on set, girl. You can't go out like that when you know you're going to be with these. You know what? I just need to watch. Clearly, I missed a lot this week.
Well, I only say that to say that them leaving the program would do nothing but give me, I feel like, less opportunities to hear about them.
Right, of course. Because what else are y'all going to do? We didn't care about your spinoff. You can't go back and do that again. Or please don't think you can. Like, we truly do not care. And I don't want to say that you have no talent, but I don't know what your talent is. Because I feel like that's... I don't want to just be like, fuck you and your life. Fuck your whole destiny. You ain't never going to be nothing, bitch. But it's just like, I don't know what else you can do. So, I don't know.
Jocelyn Hernandez, I quit. Fuck hashtag Mona. She says in a photo that doesn't do her makeup artist any favors here with this light. Make your next move your best move. Hashtag Puerto Rican princess. Hashtag Puerto Rican goddess. Hashtag fuck you pay me. Hashtag Spanish rock star. Which again, Trina. Like, you can spell the rock star different, but
the usage, period.
Jocelyn Hernandez, Kimoji board by Jocelyn, which I'm not buying, or, and it's no shade, I'm not buying yours, I'm not buying Amber's, I'm not buying Kim's, I'm not buying China's, I'm not buying nobody's. Like,
I mean, and why is it called a Kimoji board if it's for Jocelyn? I don't get that. I thought Kimoji was Kim Kardashian. No, it doesn't matter.
K-E-M, Moji board by Jocelyn.
Okay, never mind. So, no, I'm not. But I did get Tammy Romans, though. I do have Tammy Romans. That was Asante's fault. Asante sent one to me, and I was like, nigga, where is it? I have
you
to have it.
You can just find them.
I don't care. And
there's no reason to buy them.
It's only 99 cents. Tammy Roman has been providing me with entertainment since the 90s. I can give her 99 cents.
Oh, God. Can I just skip this one? Yeah. Say Michelle came for Nicki Minaj.
Who cares?
All right, great.
I don't like either one of y'all. Well, never mind. It's not even worth clarifying. It's really not. Like, my issue with Nicki has more to do with her music than anything else. But K. Michelle can just rot, so...
Well, I think they feel the same way about both.
No, that's fine with me. So,
Rudy Huxtable decided that it was the right thing to do join Bill Cosby in court for his first day of this sexual assault trial. Her reasoning came out as this: I came to support him because this is where you hear the facts. This is where the truth happens. Ultimately, it's easy to support someone and to be in their corner when things are great, when things are good, but true family, friendship, and who cares, Rudy? Shut the fuck up. I'm not even reading the rest of it. Like, I just... Rudy, sweetheart... You're struggling. You're having a moment, you know? You're having a few moments. You've been having a few moments over the past year and maybe some change.
Yeah.
And you felt like this was a great way to look like you're doing a service and be next to the nigga with the real bag.
Okay.
You know, because apparently you've got a baby to take care of.
Yeah.
And, you know, that whole thing.
That mess with her baby daddy.
So, you know, you do what you feel like is right, Rudy. And I hope that true family and friendship and integrity shows up in Bill Cosby's mind and in his heart. And he joins you in the courthouse when you and Ed are down there bickering and arguing.
Oh, Lord.
But he won't. So that's all I mean, I don't have anything else to say.
I just can't even understand. I don't understand how this man admitted to it. And there are all these women who came forward with these different stories. And still you give some bullshit like, I'm just here to support and, you know, real niggas stay down or whatever. It's like, but girl, you don't have a line. Like, there's just nothing. There's just nothing that is so terrible that you're like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Wow. Rapist. Yikes. Gonna have to pass. Like, there's nothing. You just, I don't get it. But, you know, maybe he and Camille are sending her some checks because since Cosby Show's been out of syndication for so long, and I'm sure that was her main source of income, you know, maybe they're supporting her in some way. Maybe she lives in one of their apartments.
Well, I've heard that he's really good, or she is really good friends with Bill Cosby's daughter, but then she also was on The Apprentice and had, I think she even got fired on that episode where she refused to call him and ask him for a donation to charity or something like that because she hadn't spoken to him in 5 years. And she was all upset, about to cry, talking about how I haven't spoken to this man in 5 years. It would just be, you know, I don't feel comfortable calling him.
Did she say why they didn't talk for 5 years?
I don't think that she said why, but she just said that they haven't, she hadn't seen him.
Okay.
Or spoken to him in that long or whatever. But
I mean, that may have just been something like, girl, don't call me while you on reality TV asking me for a check. Like, I will not participate in that. It could have just been something like that. I really don't know. But clearly y'all at the place today where you willing to lay down all common sense and just decency and empathy for other women to be next to this man while he stands this almost totally pointless trial and then act like this is the only place where, like the court system is always right and justice is always served and no one ever lies and rapists don't ever get away with it. Like, bitch, what? Shut up.
I just, girl.
Now I can't even watch you in little hood black movies. I don't even want you to be cast in those. Just go away.
Well, whoever taught Lil Boosie how to use Instagram and
this is getting worse and worse.
Other social media.
You're right. This is all shit news.
I'm so
damn
exhausted.
Damn, this is bad.
So Lil Boosie, I guess, was on Instagram Live or Periscope or I don't know what the fuck this nigga was on, his Nokia or his Cricket phone or whatever the fuck they gave him, but for whatever reason, he decided to take a trip down memory lane of the time he was in Angola State Penitentiary witnessing two niggas fucking in the showers or wherever. I guess it couldn't have been the showers, but he went on like forever about like the velocity to which this man was plowing another man. Like he was like in graphic detail describing how this man was riding another man's dick and he's just like he was fucking the shit out of him and all of this stuff,
grabbing ankles and all that,
only to then again imply that this is all wrong and they're sick and being gay is this, that, and the third. At this point I just want Lil Boosie to admit that he either painted somebody or somebody painted him and he hasn't recovered. Because this is ridiculous. Like, at this point, we're just, like, wasting time. You know, just say what it is. You know, you saw it or you were the one riding or being ridden or whatever, rode or whatever the fuck. Mm. And it is what it is. I just am tired, you know, and for someone who I had to constantly hear about how you needed to be free to come back and do this to music and that and rap and blah, blah, blah. All I hear about from Lil Boosie since this nigga's been free is how he feels about niggas fucking. And it's ridiculous. Like, I don't hear nothing about his music. I don't hear nothing about no mixtapes or nothing like that. All I ever hear from Boosie is how he feels about gay sex.
Yep.
And it has to be. Because he either is not getting it anymore or he's getting too much of it and just doesn't know how to feel about it. But this is all given. I mean, he followed the rant up by whistling and like doing some other gay shit. Just being like where he was like,
oh,
and then started whistling. And I'm just like, sis, like,
talking about how nasty they were and all that.
Just find your category and walk.
Yeah, the amount of vitriol that Boosie has towards gay sex and the fact that he's constantly talking about that and homosexuals and all this is like, you just are doing a lot. Like, you're doing a lot right now. And I heard the last album he put out. I heard how homophobic it was then, and I was like, I'm gonna have to stop fucking with a nigga that I really used to enjoy. Like, I'm too old to sit here and listen to you talk about faggots and that don't need to be on TV and all this. Like, I'm not listening to that shit no more, nigga. Like, I don't have it. I don't love you that much to pretend like you're not talking about people that I know and love. Like, this is just, no, fuck you. It's not cool. It's not okay. I'm not going to support it in no type of way. And you going on and on about it just makes niggas wonder why you're so obsessed. Why are you so obsessed? Why did you go into such detail about what you saw? Why did you stand there long enough to see all that you saw if you were so disgusted by it?
Out of all of the things you must have seen while being locked up in the penitentiary, man, for as long as you were, you have a photographic memory, yeah, when it comes to that man taking dick. And I'm just confused. You know what I'm saying? As someone who, you know, makes it seem like you're so disgusted with homosexuality and gay men having sex specifically.
Yeah, because it's not women he has a problem with.
I would think that you would have hauled ass so fast that you wouldn't have been able to describe, like, the way that you were speaking to me made it seem like you sat there, like you pulled up a stool and you parked it and you just watched for about half an hour, right, to really wrap your mind around why you hate it. And it was because you don't.
Yeah,
it's just,
you went home and Googled it.
This is textbook case of niggas who are so uncomfortable with their sexuality, and it's because there's something there that they probably want to explore or that they have explored and they don't know how to feel about it. And so they, instead of figuring that out and making peace with that, they decide that they're going to turn it on its ass. That was horrible. Just attack.
I love it.
The community and attack people who are proud of who they are doing whatever the fuck they want to do because you feel trapped. And I believe that Boosie's legacy is a regional thing. The same way that plenty of people probably feel that way about Trick and Trina. And I really don't care. You know what I'm saying? I have no problem excluding Boosie and his music features and the like from my life. It's not hard for me.
Every region that is known for music has those local faves that will be more beloved by the community than they will anywhere else. Everybody, New York, LA, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, everybody has that. So that's not even, it's fine for Boosie to be like a Southern fave and niggas be playing Boosie like y'all just love it and we'll be playing him at the barbecue no matter what. I mean, that is what it is, but you're not going to sit up here and tell me that this nigga is not homophobic in a way that does not make me question whether what he really wants to do is get on some nigga's dick and start riding or put his dick in somebody else. Like, because you just seem so fascinated.
He's done it.
You talk about it all the time. Like, why is this what we hear from you? Why is this always what you in the news for? That part does not make sense to me. So it's disappointing, but it's also not surprising. At this point, I just wish he would shut up about it. Like, just shut up. Like, we know how you feel. Shut up.
And go away. And wipe the corners of your mouth. That's all that I have this week for Sick Sad World.
All right. Well, we got through
it. That was painful. But we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Support for today's episode of The Read is being brought to you by Mod Cloth, where fresh floral patterns and daring designs flourish. Mod Cloth is your go-to spot for fashion that's as unique as you are. It provides an exciting and engaging online shopping experience for everyone in search of vintage women's fashion with fabulous flair. So whip up your wardrobe with everything from quirky prints to classic silhouettes. And do not worry, Mod Cloth's exclusive line of apparel comes in a full-size range from extra, extra small to 4X. because they believe that fashion is for everybody and for everybody.
My Cloth is so fun. There's always some cute swimsuits on there. I found a lot of great skirts and like interesting shoes. They always got some cute accessories. I found a lot of dope stuff on My Cloth. I actually need to go back over there and take a look at what's new. You can go ahead and snag all your summer essentials with this exclusive deal. Shop now at mycloth.com and enter promo code READ at checkout to get 30% off your order of $100 or more. That's mycloth.com, promo code READ for 30% off your order of $100 or more. Make every day extraordinary at My Cloth. Get something new for your closet and let's move on.
Okay, we're back and it is time for our letters.
It is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. There's a couple of short questions here. Have you listened to the Steven Universe soundtrack or downloaded it?
Yes, both.
I haven't. How is it? Is it?
I mean, it's just the music from the show.
Okay, so it's okay. I thought maybe it was like the Bob's Burger one, which is a bunch of songs that I can't remember. I feel like they've been in every episode, but it's just like all the little short ones and like just them.
It's
randomly
pretty much
doing
just
stuff.
Like every song I could think of being on the show from the beginning up until now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty great if you like the music on Steven Universe, which I do a lot. So I'm enjoying the fuck out of it.
It's over, isn't it? Still puts me in my feelings every time.
I've got Giant Woman. I've got Mr. Greg. I've got Stronger. Is it Stronger Than You? No, it's not. Oh my gosh, it's my favorite episode. Why am I forgetting the name of it? And I'm pretty sure it's the name of the episode too. Yeah, it is Stronger Than You.
Who sings that one?
Estelle. It's the one where I feel like it was the finale of the first one.
Okay.
I think it's where you first find out about Garnet.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. I love that song. Okay. I got to download that then. And have you seen Wonder Woman?
Not yet.
I have. I saw it today.
Did you like it?
I did.
Why?
I mean, it is a skinny, you know, white woman who's the lead character or whatever, but that's fine. I don't know nothing
Wonder
about.
Wonder Woman is traditionally skinny and white.
Well, no, yeah.
Well, not really skinny. She's supposed to be an Amazon.
Well, so she's like fit looking, but she's, anyway, I don't know what that means. I didn't know nothing about the movie going, or the comic book, I guess, going into it. So I did not expect them to have black women in the Amazons. And I was like pleasantly surprised that black women were in the movie and were like in positions of power. I don't want to ruin it for you or anything. Maybe you already know all that. But
sort of.
And I didn't find out to the very end that she knows Batman. So I guess maybe there'll be another movie and they'll explain how she knows Batman. But it was.
There's been a movie where she's explained.
Oh, okay. So I have
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, I have not seen that. So, but I like, you know, the fighting parts I had to peek through my fingers. But, well, because I don't like all that. I don't like all that fighting. I don't like all that. Like, some of it was nice. Like, oh my God, you just shot three arrows in three different niggas. That was crazy. But then, like, some of it is just too graphic for me and I can't. So, but I liked the story. I liked the way, I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting to really be into it because I don't like action movies or comic books. But it had so many.
It had so many
great reviews. Everybody was like, this movie is fantastic. Like, it's just really
reviews.
No, it's like every review. I've not seen one bad review for this movie.
I've seen a lot of people saying that they thought it was like, oh, it's got a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is decent. Got a pretty good score. On
I enjoyed
IMDb.
It.
Yeah.
I really did. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad.
A lot. So, and
they
I
need it.
Oh, they do. Who
DC
needs it?
Needs
oh,
it.
DC needs it.
This
well.
Would be like their first movie they put out from their DC universe so far that's getting really great reviews. Mm-hmm. Although I've liked most of them.
So do you know that they live on like an island of just women?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I saw that, it took me like about 15 seconds to realize there were no men on that whole little thing. And then I was like, immediately, how do we get there? Like,
right.
Women, honestly, if there was a space hidden off from the globe where only women existed, holy God, what? Ugh.
It's funny because comic books have really told a lot of empowering stories about marginalized groups. for many, 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 many decades. It's just interesting to see which ones they've chosen to like keep up through the years and really focus on, and the ones they've adapted into movies and into shows and stuff like that, and what they do with them. But yeah, she's always been a chick from the Amazon, and they like, they have different ways.
But she's not really in the Amazon.
She's
special.
That.
Oh, okay.
But
I don't know what's a spoiler and what's not.
I mean, I know enough about her character to know probably the gist of where it's going to go.
Okay.
So it's really just the experience that you're going to get when you go to see it and how everything is interpreted. But,
well, as someone who knew nothing about it, I was all in from the very beginning. It was like, oh shit, like, oh, this is crazy, just over and over. I had a great time. So
I think that's definitely a comic book movie that is necessary for right now. I hope a lot more women go see it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a bunch of reviews from men who were like, you know, it really made me challenge why, you know, I saw an island full of women and I was like, huh, are they really happy there with no men? Like, oh, duh, of course they are. But
probably like, way happier than anybody else.
Like, just knowing, just the fact that you could go outside at like 3:30 in the morning and you would have no fear of danger at all. Like,
and not only that, but the average man coming and trying you would die in just like 2 seconds.
And I mean, not to say that that does not happen, because I mean, she is the heroine, and I guess knowing that she was going to be okay was the only thing that kept me going through the movie, because I'd just be stressed that, you know,
she was my
happen,
favorite part of Batman versus Superman, actually. Yeah. I think that their fight sequences look really great, and seeing her fight and like in that other, I haven't seen this one obviously again, but in the previous movie, she's fighting like a monster that is known to have killed Superman in the comic books. And she's doing it like not
she's
really
fighting
breaking
a real
a
bad
sweat.
Monster in this one too.
She's not really breaking a sweat. She's like halfway smiling, like, okay, you got me that with that little punch, but I'm coming, like, let's do this. Like, I'm ready to beat your ass. And these two grown ass men with their weapons and superpowers are looking like, how is she doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I got, that was my favorite part of Batman versus Superman. So I'm excited.
There was
to see
a
this.
Lot of men underestimating her and being wrong about her, and her saying, well, I really don't give a shit what y'all think. I'm just finna go do it.
I'm
so
gonna do what I want.
You can fall in line, I guess, but I'm gone. Okay, bye. Like,
yeah.
And I loved it. And I love that it wasn't about falling in love and settling down and having kids. It was about, I have a mission and you're either gonna help or you're not, but like, I got shit to do. So what's up? And it was great. So you should watch it. And I feel like I'm like part of the club now of people who know about superhero stuff.
Sure.
So our first question this week comes from, pick a random name.
Beulah.
Beulah says, I'm the mutual friend of two men who I've known since elementary school. We live in a small town that is very close-minded and religious. Despite them never coming out as a couple, it was very obvious that they were one. However, their friendship ended when one half of the couple started dating a woman. So naturally, that friend is now mourning the loss of friend B. Friend A is upset that friend B has chosen to live life as a straight man.
Geometry. Like, what?
Okay, so friend...
Two of Beulah's gay homies.
Yes, one decided to go sleep with a woman.
Now he's fucking fish. Is friend A or B the devastated single one now?
Friend A is the devastated single one. Friend B should have been the other one. Well, I didn't. That's how she wrote it.
Because I'm thinking like B, bussy.
Okay. So
okay, well, it doesn't. Whatever. Okay. So B is the one with the. Okay.
Okay. So friend is upset that other friend has chosen to live life as a straight man for religious reasons.
I can't
reasons.
Do it. All right. So friend A.
I deliberately took it out so that we could just. So the one that got dumped for a woman is very upset.
His name can be Shiloh.
Shiloh is really upset because
Ryan
has decided.
Kia says you can't trust niggas named Ryan.
Okay. And you know, especially if their name is Ryan and they fine and they over 6'2". No. And he got all his teeth and they lined up real. Girl,
red
bye.
Flag.
Automatic whore. But anyway. So Shiloh is upset that Ryan has decided for religious reasons that he needs to be a woman or be with a woman, even mm-hmm. though he does not actually sexually desire women, which are his words, not mine. She clarifies. I allow him to vent, but he has been venting for almost a year. The constant conversations about this same topic are starting to wear me down. He is still so angry and so hurt. What is the best way to help my friend let go?
How long has it been?
A year. Which, I mean, that has to suck. I mean, and I feel, has this happened to me? Let me think about it.
This has definitely happened to me.
Oh, yes. I did date a girl for 3 months who it was like, and she struggled and struggled. And then one day she was like, I can't do this. I feel guilty about Jesus. And I said, you know what? I 100% understand that. I understand struggling with that because I also struggled with that. So if that's how you feel, that's fine. I'm going to let you go. And I hope you sort out your sexuality with God. I hope you make your peace with that. I just had to let her go. Like, he has to accept that it is what it is.
Oh, well, the nigga I was dating was just a hoe.
Oh, okay.
Didn't discriminate. He's just a hoe.
I'm mad because, of course, the lesbians are like in a relationship and had this long, thoughtful discussion right. about it.
No, he was just dancing. But he stayed with the girl for like 3 years, I think, and cheated on her ass. But.
Oh, man. Wow. So what do you do if you're that friend?
If I'm Shiloh's friend?
Well, I mean, so what if we could talk to Shiloh right now and be like, listen, we know your man left you for a woman. What would we say to that young man to try to help him get through it? And I think, honestly, that conversation I had with my ex is something that maybe you need to internalize for yourself. Like, he's going through something that you cannot help him with through no fault of your own. And his struggle with religion is a result of his family and society telling him that there's something wrong with who he is. And he has to deal with that on his own time. All he's going to do if he's in a relationship with you is be miserable and take that misery out on you. And you don't deserve that. Like, you're honestly better off without it. You just have to accept that it's over and try to move forward, I guess.
Woo, woo, woo. I don't really know. You know, I feel like when you...
I mean, you didn't feel no type of way about...
Of course, yes. I was pissed. It was a weird feeling for me because on one end, I was pissed that I was cheated on and left in the dirt.
Yeah.
But then I also felt like... I felt like there's something there I can't give you. You know what I'm saying? If you like vaginas, I can't give you, I don't have one. So it was just like, I felt like there was a part of him that he wanted to fulfill or have fulfilled. And he wasn't going to be able to get that with me. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think he just took the easier route, which was
of
to just
being a hoe.
Of being a straight hoe.
Right.
So, you know, that was the path he went. You know, I think maybe it's a bit easier in that regard, because if he were to be like, okay, well, the reason I'm dating this bitch is because, you know, the Lord says blah, 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 blah. I'd be like, well, the Lord was saying that for all of these months that you and I were doing X, Y, Z, and ZZ.
And yet here you was right here doing it the whole time. So...
I mean, if that's something that you, that's so a conversation you've had with him.
I could see that.
You know what I'm saying? I don't like to police people's personal talks with God, mm-hmm. whether it's real or alleged or whatever. But I'm just like, you know, he ain't have that talk with me. I can tell you that for sure. So do what you feel like you have to do. And I'm just going to do me. I mean, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Y'all are on two different pages.
I mean, it's been a year. It's been a year and you're still really upset about him being with this woman. But like,
some people take freakishly long to get over things.
No, I'm saying like you have to accept that you may feel like you're right, or maybe he told you, you know, oh, I'm not even attracted to women. So you're like, why are you even with one and all this? But like, you cannot rationalize this situation to something that's going to make him come back or anything else. Like, it is just done. And he is just going through that. And there's nothing you can do. You can't take him through that. Because
if he don't want you, let that man go.
He's dealing with something that he does not feel comfortable with about himself. And you are a reflection of that. So him being around you is not going to work for him where he is right now. And you just, like, that's, it's for your own good to move on to somebody who loves being gay and is excited about being gay right along with you. You know, like, that's a far more ideal situation. So let's see who's next. This one's from Taisha. She says, that's a fake name that she gave. I'm a 19-year-old black woman and I'm having troubles with my boyfriend. I met him at a party between mutual friends, and after months and months of flings, I found the guy who is most like me. This is both a blessing and a curse because he's gorgeous, young, and loves attention, which makes me crazy. I hate to be that one girlfriend that's too overprotective over my man, but whenever I meet a new friend, whether they're male or female, they become good friends with him and eventually develop feelings. And the worst part about it is that I feel as though he entertains them. It makes me feel like I'm not enough for him, and I've told him that numerous times. When I see people blatantly flirting with him, and him not shrugging it off instead of making me mad, I get jealous and insecure. But at the same time, I feel like I'm overreacting and taking his friendliness as a way of him flirting. To put it simply, my boyfriend is irresistible and irreplaceable, but it's hurting me. I've lost one too many friends over this boy until it comes to the point that he's my last one. What should I do?
That's your goddamn.
God help. My goodness. I'm trying to remember being 19 and feeling this way about somebody.
Oh, is that how old she said she
Yeah.
is? Oh, well, then no wonder you acting stupid.
Yeah, that puts a lot, that puts it into perspective, definitely.
First of all, at that age, it's nothing for one of these little niggas with some straight white teeth and some waves or whatever.
Oh,
and
don't let him have waves.
Eyelashes to wink at your asses and have you acting like you dumb out here. Like, it just doesn't, I'm not surprised at
and
all.
And the Odell Beckham haircut.
Right. Luckily, you're, you know, young enough that you're, I feel like it's okay for you to stumble and make a couple of guy mistakes right now.
Mm-hmm. This is your time.
This is definitely your time. I would not, you know, trade my friends for this nigga. But if you are finding yourself making friends that end up like falling for your boyfriend, that's strange. It's equally strange that your boyfriend is entertaining it.
I think I understand the boyfriend entertaining it more than I do the friends who end up falling for him. Like, how does that happen?
That's very confusing to me. I mean, your boyfriend could be an innocent flirt. Those niggas are really annoying.
Yeah, they are.
But they exist. Like, there's a lot of people that just have naturally flirtatious personalities, mm-hmm. and they never have the intention of doing anything past it, but they're just charismatic and charming, and you have to know.
And they act like they don't see that. That's the frustrating part for me, is they be like, I wasn't even doing nothing. This is just my personality. Like, okay, that's fine or whatever, but like, you don't see how other people take that. Like,
and I mean, I feel like if you just can't take it, you just can't take it. You know, if that's not something you're comfortable with, it's not something you're comfortable with. That can be something that you're well within your right to walk away from, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with being like, I can't handle you acting like this, so I have to go.
Yeah, I'm feeling this is borderline disrespectful or whatever. It's up to you. But your boyfriend is probably not going to change his behavior anytime soon, especially if he's 19 and a pretty boy or cute or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would be more concerned with finding friends that I can have these conversations with rather than two strangers, because all of my friends want to fuck my man.
Right.
You know, that would be...
Who are these friends?
You know, but if you're not concerned with him cheating on you at all, then I guess you don't really have a problem with him. But I can't say that him having a flirtatious personality or being charming or being cute is the problem more than your friends wanting to fuck him. Like, he should be able to smile and wink and do whatever all he wants, and you should still have friends that are like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with your nigga's eye, but tell him to stop looking at you. Like, that shouldn't be an issue, because newsflash, this is a huge surprise. But the fine nigga that you dating ain't the only fine nigga in the world. Mm-hmm. And he probably won't be the only fine mm-hmm. nigga that you meet and have like a connection with. I feel like a lot of niggas, like you meet a nigga who fucks the shit out of you. You meet a nigga who got money. You meet a nigga who dress nice. You meet a nigga who has, you know, nice features or looks good or all of these little things, and you feel like you never gonna meet another nigga like that ever in the world. Like, he is just simply one of a kind. If that nigga can't make a rocket ship from scratch, then odds are somebody else out there got that recipe too. So don't waste your time and settle and be out here looking silly if, you know, just because a nigga has a couple of things that plenty other niggas got. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and the fact that you've said to him like numerous times, it bothers me that you do this, 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 and he's made no effort to change that, or I don't know. Maybe he feels like whatever it is he's done is not that big of a deal, but it just seems like it's a general lack of giving a shit that makes you upset, which is just another reason for you to go ahead and move on. It's like, if there's plenty of other fine niggas out here, like, I'm sure you could log right onto Instagram. I know kids are doing all that type of shit these days, and like, they're right there. So you will be fine. You are young, and there is so much time. Like, there are so many boys, girl. If you find yourself stressed out over a nigga at this age, just let him go. There is another one coming.
And now is the time for you to do all of that stuff. Because what happens is, the more of these niggas that do this dumb shit around you, not to say that you should just be running around and dating everybody. There's nothing wrong with that either. What I'm saying is, the more that you actually do date and see these things and ask yourselves questions and stuff like that, by the time you get into your late 20s, early 30s, you'll be way more set up to, like, with the man that you're with or the man that you're dating, be like, oh no, I seen this a mile away. Like, I already know that this leads to that, and that ultimately leads to that, and I am not dealing with any of it.
Right.
So you can go. Like, it just makes it easier for you to know what you... know your worth, and also know what you can handle, what you won't put up with, and so on and so forth. And this is like a petty thing, but again, you're so young that you could just tell that nigga bye and then put, you know, on a sickening highlighter and put a selfie up on Instagram, and then he'll probably act right. So,
I mean, and if not, there is another one right around the corner somewhere.
Right around the corner.
And like, this is the time for you to date and figure out what you just absolutely will not deal with. Don't, please don't be 40 trying to date and figure out what you will and will not tolerate. But if you know that this is something that bothers you about a partner and you can't deal with niggas that act like that, then don't deal with this nigga. Move on and find somebody else. Somebody who's going to be more compatible with you. Good luck with that. Our last question comes from Nia, who says, my best friend got a boyfriend about 6 months ago. I was happy for her initially, but now I can't stand her new man, and she's getting on my nerves too. We've been roommates all 4 years of college, and I've never had an issue till he came. We're currently sharing a one-bedroom apartment for the summer, and she lives in the living room. The walls are thin, so I always hear his loud-ass laughter or commentary on movies he's watching or just whatever else is on his mind. He takes up all her time now, and it's like she can't make room for me. He's over here practically every day till 3 in the morning. The rare moments he's not here and I ask her to hang out, she has a paper to write or a book to read, yet somehow she finds all the hours in the day to spend time with him. I want to bring it up, but whenever I go over this in my head, I sound like a bitter, clingy bitch. Is this what I'm being, or am I right to be angry with her for ditching me? We rarely fight, and this is the first time it's been over a nigga. Your advice would be much appreciated. Love the show. Thanks, Nia.
I don't know. I'm not the type of person. I think because I love being alone, and I love being left alone.
Truly.
That I'm just not the type of person who takes that sort of thing personal. I know that when you have a friend that gets into a new relationship, you can just kind of expect to see a bit less of them.
Yeah.
Hear a bit less of them. Especially in the early stages of it. Because they're going to be with that nigga all the time. Yeah. And that's just like, what do you...
You find somebody you actually like and they like you back. That's a miracle. So, of course, y'all gonna start spending time.
Yeah, they're going to prioritize a few things over you sometimes, because I'm sorry, if it comes down to going shopping or going to the movies with the bitch that I'm friends with and been friends with for 10 years or whatever, or with this new finance nigga that's been dicking me down for a couple of weeks that I want to continue dicking me down, I'm gonna pick with him. You know, I'm gonna pick him. And then when it come out, you know, on digital HD, we'll watch it together in the living room, bitch. Like, calm down, you know, like, but what I'm saying is that I just let her do her thing with her man. When it impedes on your solo time and your own happiness and peace of mind in the house, that's when it can be, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's when it's something else. If he's like just doing weird shit, like if you're trying to study or sleep and you can't because he's loud, or, you know, you went to go get some juice and this nigga finished it or something like that, then that's when it's like, okay, you and I, friends, need to have some discussions, not about you and your man, not even about you and me, but about your man annoying me and mm-hmm. how and why.
I mean, and as a roommate, taking the friendship out of it, the fact that he is there all the time until 3 o'clock in the morning and loud as shit would be, to me, a reason to talk to her.
Yeah,
about
like that's
it.
Different.
Yeah, like that's, I feel like that's a conversation that you should have with her.
But that's not what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, it's like this, she like set that up like this is this problem yeah. and then this is the problem.
Right.
Right. So it's like, I feel like the real issues that you mentioned, your friend, and maybe right. you're a little lonely, and so instead of coming at it like, oh my god, all you ever do is spend time with that nigga, oh my god, okay, yes, Mark is this and Mark is that, god damn, just being like, so first of all, sis, like, so happy for you. Congrats. Love him, so great.
You
however, like, well, I mean, because apparently they were friends. They were all friends. And so it's not like she has a personal issue with him.
Oh.
And so I would say that, but then be like, it's just that he is over here till like super fucking late. He's running up the utilities or whatever. I don't know if you've noticed that the utilities are higher because he's always there. Then I would bring that up, because that nigga need to put in. If he's eating the groceries, he need to put in on that, because that's a real thing.
I mean, it is.
I've had situations like that with roommates before, like people who are still my friends to this day. But like, this nigga has been in the living room for the past 3 weeks, and I just don't like a nigga living in the fucking living room. Like,
he ain't got a living room, you got to go living
like
room.
Right, like, where do you stay? So that's a valid conversation to have with her. And then I would also say, you know, and I miss you. I miss hanging out with you. I would love if we could, you know, pick a day 2 weeks from now and just go to the mall or whatever and hang out, because I want to hang out with my friend, you know, and position it like that. Like, I miss your company. Because anytime if, you know, like, I just got out of a relationship, but when I was in one and my friends were like, okay, so seriously, it's been like 2.5 months. Wow, really? Where are you? So they're like, oh, okay, you know, I feel bad. I did not mean to ditch you guys. And of course, I will come to your, you know, whatever, like, I think you just have to give her the chance to be like, damn, you know, my bad, bitch. I didn't know you missed me. Like, yeah, let's hang out.
I just don't care that deeply.
Yeah, no, we know you would love to be just shut up alone in the house for all eternity.
It would be different, though, if I lived with the nigga and with their nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It would be different if the friend in question was my roommate and then also her man happened to be my fake roommate, too. Like, I'd be like, honestly, you know, I'm not hating on you and your relationship, but let's just make a time to do something us together.
Yeah.
And also, unless we're going to do this Love and Hip Hop Atlanta thing and share this nigga, he needs to be your boyfriend. Meaning, I don't need to be around him all of the time.
Yeah.
You do. So ask, like, can you go over to his living room sometime? Are y'all watch a movie over there? Or can he, like...
Yeah.
Something.
This is your man. Or and like, so, and I don't even want to share an apartment with one person, much less two. So
like, that was in the agreement. Yeah. So when you pick him up from work, at the very least, can you like stop at the grocery store and make him buy the groceries first if he's going to be eating all of them? Like, let's yeah. compromise so that everybody is comfortable and nobody has an issue.
Yes, exactly. That's how it. You have to. I mean, living with people, it's learning to manage your relationship in a whole nother way, because there is no escape from the friend like you would ordinarily have. It's just like, damn, we are really under the same roof all the time. Wow, this is not gonna work. So yeah, I think you just have to be more open, come to her from a different standpoint, as opposed to just being loud and angry and sounding like you mad that she has a man and you don't. And I think you'll be fine. So send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com, and we'll be back.
This week's episode is being brought to you by ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, all it takes is one click for your job to reach over 100 websites across the interweb. Yes, their technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. So this is basically how it works. If you're out there looking for folk to come and work for you, your company, your folks, them, ZipRecruiter rises right above the rest, and they don't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you, with over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter getting a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. You don't have to juggle emails or calls to the office. Screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Everything you need will be right in front of you. It's just a matter of clicks and finding the right person to come in who won't steal from you or sit in your break room all hours and talk to their man or whatever other ridiculousness. You got the cream of the crop. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. That is ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. Let them know we sent you and get to work. Let's move on.
Hey guys, today's episode of The Read is also brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes incredible home cooking easy and accessible by delivering seasonal recipes with step-by-step instructions right to your door, all for less than $10 a meal. You can customize your recipes based on your preferences, select a delivery option that's right for you, and there's no weekly commitment, so you only get the deliveries when you want them. Some of the meals this month include warm smoked trout and asparagus salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons. Well, damn, a spiced zucchini enchilada with creamy lime and tomato rice, peach honey glazed chicken with mashed sweet potato, collard greens, and Thai basil, and more. Blue Apron is so simple to use, and they deliver exactly what you need, no waste. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TheRead. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TheRead. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Let them know we sent you, and let's finish the show.
Okay, so we're back. Just a little over an hour. And it's now time for the read. It's funny, every time I've tried to make the show really short, it's been hilariously long. And here we are flourishing.
Just, I don't understand it. It's almost like when we don't focus on it, we just get through it. I don't know. It's weird. So.
Well, okay, this week's read for me, I mean, we haven't talked about him yet, so obviously I'm going to talk about Bill Maher.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Honestly, I wish I had like a really deep, powerful statement prepared for y'all with trumpets and a choir and tigers, I don't know, something, but I really don't. So Bill Maher was on his show on HBO. I'm so tired.
I can tell. You seem like you would like a nap.
He was on Real Time with Bill Maher on his HBO bullshit. And during an interview, he made an alleged joke where he refers to himself as a house nigga. When someone said something about, oh, come, you can come out in the fields with us and work. Yeah. And he's like, oh, no, I'm a house nigga. I don't do blah, blah, blah.
Something that had absolutely nothing to do. It was not a slavery conversation.
Like,
it was
you went out of your way.
You definitely, yeah. You made the effort. Yes.
To get to that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could, you know, I could go on a rant about all of the reasons why that was offensive. I could talk about the word nigga coming out your white ass mouth specifically. I could talk about how you are slightly romanticizing the house slave or that side of slavery as if to say that that would be like the prefer. Oh yeah, I was a house. Like house slaves were still treated as property. They were still treated as less than human. They were like raped and beaten just the same. And like Angela Rye pointed out, the house nigga actually is kind of an origin for a lot of the color complexes that exist within the black community today. Absolutely. That are like literally fucking us up all day, every single day. So for you and your white bull terrier face to sit on HBO and just make this joke, oh, I'm a house nigga. Like, is clearly offensive for so many reasons. And yes, you should be cussed out. You should lose your show for this, in my opinion. But I think the thing that annoys me the most about it is this piss-ass apology.
Oh,
and
God.
I'll just discuss really quickly why. So he comes afterwards and says, Friday nights are always my worst night of sleep because I'm up reflecting on the things I should or shouldn't have said on my live show. Last night was a particularly long night as I regret the word I used in the banter of a live moment. The word was offensive and I regret saying it and I'm very sorry. So first of all, he points out that the show was live more than once in this statement, which to me just kind of says that I wish I wouldn't have said it on live TV. Because had I not said it, there could have been a way that we could have edited it out and I wouldn't have to hear y'all's bullshit right now.
That's exactly what that's saying.
He has like documented proof. Like there are episodes of his show. Somebody unearthed this footage of him arguing with Anne Marie Johnson, a full entire black woman on the same show about the word nigga being co-opted and how it's a term of endearment now and what's the problem with white people saying it and so on and so forth. And also said to her, well, if I didn't know you were black or if you hadn't told me you were black, I wouldn't have known or something like that. So because she, as if to say that because she could pass,
right,
that how could you tell me what's wrong or right about the word nigga? Like, but your views on that have completely changed.
Like, you as a white
changed.
Man have any space at all. Like, you know what? Never mind.
So, that wasn't even that long ago. I think that may have been the early 2000s or 90s or something like that. But definitely not a lifetime ago where you've just seen the light since. Not to mention, you've dated black women before. I don't think either one of those women who I know about have anything positive to say about you. But the thing that really ticked me off about the apology and just the overall attitude of what he was saying, even before he apologized, when he said it, I couldn't even fix myself to be mad because A, I've been knowing that Bill Maher was a dick, and he's one of these people who just feels like that, like it's not a big deal. Like you are an intelligent person. You are a full ass white man in 2017 America. You knew not to say that word.
Yeah, you did.
And you did it anyway. And he's on, I want to say January, he had an episode of the show where this was like right around inauguration too, I believe. He basically blamed Democrats and the Liberal Party.
Oh, God.
For, like, essentially handing over the presidency to Trump because all we did last year was bitch and moan and complain. He called the Democratic Party the apology party and brought up all of these examples like Hillary Duff and her boyfriend when they dressed up as an Indian and a pilgrim for Halloween and how they had to apologize for that. And was it Kevin Costner who said hidden fences?
Oh, yeah.
And how he apologized for that and how cultural appropriation is bitch. Like, he basically implied that that is just a bunch of whiny shit and how could we have a problem with a melting pot like America taking a bunch of different cultures and making it one thing, and made several jokes about the fact that liberals forced ignorant motherfuckers to apologize for their ignorance and that we should have been more focused on actual democratic issues like gun control and abortion laws. Didn't say anything about police brutality. Didn't say anything about mass incarceration, obviously. Or just like very specific issues.
Right.
We should be more focused on that rather than, you know, complaining. And he even had a moment where he said, I want for you, if you have a problem with this, I want you to tweet me that it was offensive so I can tweet you back to go and fuck yourself. This was just a few months ago.
Yeah. I mean, and this is classic Bill Maher. He's been like this as long as he's had a career.
Forever. Yeah. So I am not dumb enough. And I find it, you know, like offensive and annoying that you're insulting us when you just a few weeks ago said, fuck apologies. We should be able to insult whoever we want to. We should be able to walk over any culture, any race, any gender as much as we want to, because those aren't real issues. What I say are real issues are real issues. So I'ma say nigga on my show and then pretend to feel bad about it, only so then we can then have Ice Cube come on the show to talk about why I shouldn't have said nigga.
Yeah.
Not one of your own peers, not another comedian, not another political analyst, not another TV host, Cube. And it's no shade to Ice Cube. I'm not going to say that he can't say anything meaningful or, like, you know, smart during right. this interview. But I just find it very funny that out of all of the people who would have certainly gone on that show and challenged you, you picked Ice Cube to come on the week afterwards. But Mara is a joke. His show is a joke. I know that HBO is not going to cancel it. I know that they're going to, you know, do the typical thing. Like, Kathy Griffin lost her job with CNN for that shit that she did with the Trump head.
Yeah.
If this was 8 years ago,
girl, okay,
and Louis C.K. or somebody or Bill Maher had a lynched doll of Obama or a beheaded doll of Obama, CNN, all these people would have been like, hey, girl, so we're going to need you to apologize on television like 3 times and then it'll be fine. We'll go and get cocktails right after.
Yeah, no big deal.
So,
just gotta say you're sorry. It'll be fine.
I just think that he's full of shit. I really don't have anything like really truly fiery to say about him. I just think that the whole thing is lame. I think it was probably just an excuse to be talked about and to get some more ratings for that show, probably, because I mean, I don't know what the ratings for that show are these days, so I'm not gonna act like I do. All I know is that I don't watch it and I don't really know anybody else who does. But I just can't find, I'm not gonna waste myself or insult my own culture, my own community, or my own intelligence by going on a rant about why Bill Maher shouldn't have said house nigger, because he knows exactly why he shouldn't have said house nigger. He just doesn't give a fuck, and he finds like a perverse pleasure in trolling us and making us mad and then talking about how sorry he was because, you know, he was so tired or whatever, right. And he wished he hadn't said it on live television. I just wish he didn't have a live portion of television to say anything on. And that's really the end of
that
it.
That would really be it. Like, and then to insult us like, oh, I'm tired. Like, being tired isn't reason to call yourself a nigga. Like, or just to be like, oh, I'm a house nigga. Like, how dare you? It's a conversation about trick-or-treating and Halloween and how kids in Nebraska trick-or-treat and adults don't. And so the man is like, oh, yeah, we look, come out in Nebraska and join us in the fields. Like, just a very common phrase that doesn't even mean going in a field. And you just heard field and was like, I can make a nigga joke out of this.
I mean,
and you went there immediately.
It's not the first joke I've heard him tell about slaves. It's not the first time I've heard him refer to himself as a slave. It's certainly not the first black or racist joke I've heard come out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been racist forever. This is naive.
It's not. It's not new. You know what I'm saying? This is just, if anything else, I took it as him taunting people and knowing full well that it would end up being this long discussion about why white people shouldn't say this and why white people shouldn't say that, so that he could then turn around and do a similar rant like he did back in January and say, you guys are wasting all this time on semantics when Trump is the president. Well, we didn't want that bitch to be president either. And we made that very, very clear while we were complaining about everything else. I don't know how many times we have to tell you dumb bitches that we're more than capable of disliking several things at the same time, of fighting several injustices at the same time. Like, we don't just focus on one thing. I can say that's ignorant, that's fucked up, that's dumb, all at the same time, and also wear a shirt or a sweater, a tunic that says fuck Trump. Yes. I don't know what you think. Like, I'm confused about that.
I mean, we talk about how shitty Donald Trump is all the time. Nobody has stopped talking about how awful Donald Trump is. That has not slowed down in the least. In fact, all I do every day is grow more and more angry with this government and the Republicans, who are clearly, it is becoming more and more evident with every day that Donald Trump could literally do anything. And Republicans are not going to impeach him because they want them hateful ass policies in place. And they care more about that than fucking treason. And really, I think that may be the only thing that surprised me, because I always thought these right wing conservative motherfuckers were like Team America. But what y'all really are is Team Rich White Man.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. And I guess for so long, those two things were the same to me. Like, America is rich white men, because that's always who has assumed control over it. But just being faced with the reality, like, y'all are really going to let this man stay in office, despite the fact that it is clear to everyone across the globe that Russia interfered with our election in multiple ways. Like, and clearly is in the back pockets of a lot of people, maybe Nemo, even some of these senators, maybe even
Nemo, Dory, Marlin, all of them. Everyone are talking
knows.
About it.
Everybody
Ariel,
knows.
Ariel, King Triton, Sebastian. Everybody is talking about how this motherfucker is ridiculous. And if they don't have to live here, they're laughing.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's just, it's so bullshit to me. America, though, like, were you talking about the difference? It is the same thing, but what you're sold and what we're told is kind of that commercial in Get Out where he was like finally strapped up in that room and that TV came on with the granddad and he was like the Coagula. Like, that's what they sell us, is that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you can be anything you want, and regardless of your color or creed or sexual or blah 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 blah, you can be anything you want to be. And then they do what everything they possibly can to make sure that the only people who survive and strive in this bitch are rich white men. And then when you complain about not being a rich white man, they're like, well, you've got all the freedom. We told you about it in the fucking commercial. Like, you didn't take advantage. What's the problem?
Y'all are not even slaves anymore.
So now I have to pay more of all of the money that I stole from you bitches give back to you so that you can have, like, so you can live and your kids can have medicine and they can go to a good school? Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you, pal. You didn't work hard to steal, too.
Y'all don't even believe people in Detroit deserve clean water.
Their water has been shit forever.
The fact that this is even still happening.
Forever. And you want me to worry about fucking Barron Trump, who is surely drinking San Pellegrino whenever the fuck he wants to, because Kathy Griffin has somebody make a dummy and cover it in fake blood and took a picture of it, which was quite arousing. If anybody should have been mad at Kathy Griffin, it should have been Pornhub. Not Barron Trump, not Melania, not Donald, or anybody the fuck else. I should be worried about that when kids in Flint are still expected to drink mud.
Right.
Fuck, like, are you kidding?
Yeah. I'm supposed to care about rich-ass Barron Trump when Donald Trump's administration is about to take every dime out of public schools and pour it into these charters so that they and their friends can make even more money and privatize everything about this fucking government. I'm supposed to give a shit that an already rich child is going to be even richer because of his shithead daddy when kids across the country will be suffering? Girl, bye. I highly doubt Barron Trump even saw that picture. And if he didn't, he was probably just as happy to see it as the rest of us.
I was about to say, when his mama told him that it wasn't fake, I'm sure Barron was...
that it wasn't real.
When his mama told him it wasn't real, Barron was like,
God damn it.
Can't have anything.
I had just Googled assassination. I was hoping today would be the day.
Like, cut the shit. That's the most frustrating thing about this government, because honestly, I feel like there are so many places that you can live in the world that you even now probably think are like the greatest alternative, and you will go there and there'll be parts of that government that will be shit too. But
of course,
what really pisses me off is the nerve and the insult and acting like, what? Like, that's what pisses me off. Just acting like everybody is stupid and like we don't see everything anymore. You can't do that shit anymore. Like, the whole ass internet is available to any and everybody. I don't even know if you need a smart device, bitch. Like, if you want to, you can still go right down to the free ass library.
That's true.
Everything is everywhere. So you lying to people or making up shit with people or just straight up acting like we don't know what the fuck this president is doing is just, that's the thing that pisses me off the most. Like, I would just, I think I would have way more peace if they would just come forward, like I've said a million times, been like, it is what you know it is. And bitch, what are you gonna do about it?
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a bitch in a hood who been talking shit to like about you.
Yeah.
And been stirring up a whole bunch of shit. But then when you see them and you're like, so what's up with that?
Right.
They're like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no reason to say anything about you. That it makes you want to beat their ass that much more.
Right.
Because I would respect you more if you would have been like, yep, it was. And these are the reasons.
If that's how you really feel, say it to my fucking face. But y'all scared of us in that way. Like, the Republicans have, no, I'm sure they don't know, actually. But this cannot, this will not sustain itself over time. Eventually,
impossible.
There will be a revolution.
It has to.
Like, and all of you will burn. So, one day it's going to come. I don't know when. I don't know if I'll be around. But one day, it just cannot. This can't keep going. And Trump is so, I just can't wait for everybody in this administration to be in prison. Honestly, I can't wait. Like, it has to just be a matter of time. The way he's on Twitter insulting leaders of other nations, like insulting the London mayor after this. You know what? I'm not. Because Make America Great Again Twitter has been in my mentions for days. Because I said America and the UK would be better off if white people couldn't vote, which is true. I don't know why. I mean, and y'all denied us the right to vote for so long that it's only right that we should be able to gain a little bit of power by denying it to you. But anyway,
I feel like it's just one election.
Like, I mean, even if you just took out, you know, I don't want to fucking do this because I can go on and on all day. But anyway, getting back to Bill Maher and his shitty ass bullshit apology and all that. Of course, there have to be the niggas who run in on the Captain Save a White Man Brigade. There has to be. Like, y'all just can never let a white man fuck up and let that be that. And so, of course, the number one offender is always Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know what it is about white men. I don't get Whoopi's, like, just her, this adoration. She has stars in her eyes for these white men, and I do not comprehend it. And of course, she was on The View talking about, I don't have no problem with it, and it's time that we strip nigga of all the bad meaning, and it's
Whoopi,
whatever.
Shut,
like,
the fuck.
Girl.
Shut up. Shut up.
Why do you make us disrespect a legend like this? Why
shut
do you
up.
Make us do this? We should not have to talk to you like this.
Shut up. She does this shit all the time. Like, no
she
doubt
does.
She's gotten high as fuck with Bill Maher once upon a 90s time, and she just doesn't, like, she capes for her friends a lot. She capes for whiteness a lot. Mm-hmm. And it just confuses me. Because, like, on one end, she'll be over here making Elizabeth Hasselbeck cry, talking about we live in two different worlds and da 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 da. And then she's over here, like, cultural appropriation isn't a thing. Y'all are complaining. And I have no issue. It's just like, Whoopi, what?
Shut up, girl.
Are your sneakers two sizes too small?
I don't get that about her.
Is it because they're sneaker wedges?
I don't know what it is about white men, or maybe she has enough access through, you know, her career and her money and her status. She has enough access to whiteness to where she feels like she's maybe not really like the rest. I don't know what it is. But
some niggas are just well actually as fuck. Like, I think that some people just like to be the one to be like, well, you know, I'm a disagree because I'm different.
Yeah. Or I don't care about the N-word, so I don't really care that Bill Maher used it. Great. But you don't get to tell the rest of us that we don't get to care about Bill Maher talking about he's a house nigger. If you don't care, then take your house nigger ass on over there. Since nigga don't mean nothing to you, you just scoot right on over there and let those of us who do give a shit talk about it. Let's do that. Like, why do you want the rest of us to shut up just because you don't give a fuck? Okay, so go sit down somewhere and don't give a fuck. Like, you giving way too much of a fuck right now arguing with me about why I shouldn't care. If you don't care, then just go over by yourself and don't fucking care. Why do you have to convince me to not care right along with you? Why is that
it.
So important?
So
like,
confused.
If you, like, that really just defies logic. I mean, it's like it's not just you don't see a problem with nigga. You don't want the rest of us to still be upset over a word that has historically meant danger, imminent danger, extreme violence, possibly murder coming your way in like less than 5 seconds. That word is coming from a white person I will never be okay with, especially somebody like Bill Maher feeling like he can just throw that out into casual conversation that has absolutely the fuck nothing to do with slavery, making a joke that just was so completely, it was just
exactly.
It was out of nowhere. It was so totally inappropriate, and it was not his word to say.
He said it because it was inappropriate and because it's not his word to say. So, like, if you don't even have a problem with the word nigga or even with white people using that word, the fact that you can't see that he's taunting people specifically, like, you don't have a problem with that, cool. Well, then shut your ass up and let me say what I gotta say.
Yeah, let that be that. So then Donna Brazile, who you know as a political commentator, former acting chairperson of the DNC, leaked debate questions to Hillary Clinton, turned into a very big deal, and all this. She was on Twitter a few days ago and tweeted out a link to Bill Maher's apology and said, let's accept his contrition and move on. And I have to say, I did not expect that coming from Donna Brazile. I would not have thought that someone who has so frequently been on my side as far as political issues are concerned would have immediately jumped to the I'm forgiving Bill Maher and y'all should do it too. It's once again, it's one thing for you to say I've accepted Bill Maher's contrition. That's your personal Negro ass decision. But to encourage the rest of us to do that, like there's something wrong with us for being mad, that's where I take issue with it. And so I commented on that and I said that I was interested in wondering how much money she made for that tweet, because I don't see a reason for you to talk about this otherwise. Like, honestly, unless you got a big ass, like six figure plus check, I don't see your motivation for doing that. I don't get it. And she replied to me and said, there's no money involved. When someone apologizes for misbehaving, I tend to move on. We have bigger battles ahead. Hashtag peace out. So first of all, girl. When someone apologizes for misbehaving, you tend to move on. I'm sorry. Have you not been paying attention to everything that happened since January 20th, 2017? Because there is a massive orange dickhead in the White House right now who has fake apologized and half apologized for a lot of shitty things he's done. And that's not a reason to move on or just pretend like it didn't happen. I can't even believe you said something that fucking stupid when there is somebody in office right now who there's no amount of apologizing he could do to fix anything, like any of the wreckage that he has already caused in just these few short months. Bitch, what the fuck is you talking about? When somebody apologizes, we move on. No, girl, if somebody apologizes and not to mention it being a bullshit ass, like fake ass, garbage ass apology anyway, I was tired. That's the sorry shit that you are accepting.
Of an apology.
Girl.
Like, mama got an iMessage at 6 a.m. from the network telling him to issue an apology, and he just tweeted something and went right back to sleep. Shut up.
Girl, what? So that is just. I can't believe, like, I have to think Donna Brazile must have been on the beach drinking margaritas like I was and just decided to drunkenly reply to that, because you clearly didn't think that through.
Moonshine.
That doesn't make sense. But then to turn it up with, well, we have bigger battles ahead. Yes, girl. We do have these big ass battles ahead. But what you're doing is taking this situation with Bill Maher and acting like, oh, this is just a white man saying something that we didn't like. Let's move on and act like this isn't part of a much bigger cultural issue.
Read her.
The fact that Bill Maher felt that he could be so comfortable with saying house nigger, and the fact that the joke even sprang to his mind immediately in the first place, is indicative of a really shitty racist ass culture that America has been building over the past several hundred years. Read and the her. Fact that he has not faced any real repercussions. He will not lose his job. HBO will not cancel his show. He will never be broke. And the times in his life where he has been let go from jobs, he has received $1 million payouts. He writes books and they go on the bestsellers list immediately, girl. He will never be in any danger of losing his status in society. But you decide to take your black woman ass self and go cape on the internet for free. For free, bitch, the ancestors would spit in your face. For free, you did this shit. Are you fucking kidding me? A man who stands to lose absolutely the fuck nothing? This is indicative. Yeah, it was a stupid joke. He said it on TV. In the grand scheme of things, there are much worse things happening. But this is indicative of a much bigger problem. Do you think that Trump and the rest of the KKK currently running the government are not calling us niggers just in places where you can't hear it? Do you think that police chiefs who refuse to fire police officers who kill black men are not also calling us niggers? Like, the people that they are supposed to protect and serve, the communities that pay the taxes, that pay those people, do you think they're not also calling us niggers?
Lil old Bucktooth Shelly down at the 7-Eleven calls us niggers when we, you know, ask for an extra black or any old thing. Like, why are you acting like that's not not still a word that is used the same way.
It is still used. A white race. Like, it's a racist thing.
It's not a term of endearment for everybody.
Girl, what?
Like, get the and why do we always have to move on? Why do we always have to drop it and move on and act like this shit never happened when we get these half-ass apologizes? Apologies, even if we do get them. Because half the time, we don't. We always got to drop this shit and move on. And nobody ever wants to have the actual conversation and do the real work into making the shit better. And then you wonder why we always have to have the conversation, bitch. Because you keep telling us to shut the fuck up and move on, and we're not getting any actual goddamn work done. And white people ain't learning no motherfucking lessons, and you're not calling them on their shit. You're not holding them accountable for any of the fucking things that they do. So they keep doing the same shit over and over and over again, generation after generation after generation again. Yes. And you're making it seem like this isn't a big deal. It is.
Yes. You act like you shuffling up. Oh, it's okay, Mr. White Man. It'll be all right. We know you said something and you ain't really mean it, sir. It'll be all right. We'll just move right on from that. It's not fixing anything. All it's doing, and I don't know if that's a generational thing. I don't know if it's a professionally, I feel like I need to put on a certain face for white people thing. I don't really get that. Like I said, that coming from Donna Brazile shocked the shit out of me, because it just seems like I would think you of all people would be in a place where, why do you even need to comment on that? But what? Bill Maher? What? Like, girl, why? It just didn't make sense. But you're not, you saying, well, let's just get over it. He apologized, so let's just accept the fact that he's sorry and move forward, is not teaching white people to be any better. It's not forcing white people to be accountable for the things they've done. Like, how are we supposed to progress in the fight against racism if at no point we say to white people, the shit that you're doing isn't okay?
Because that's a way bigger issue to me, even outside of just the word nigga. White people know that they can do the most heinous, ridiculous, offensive things, maybe apologize for it, and eventually everyone will just be ushered into moving the fuck on.
Yes.
Look at your whole ass president.
Like, look at the presidency right now.
He does ridiculous, like mind-blowingly horrible things.
Unbelievable.
And just, oh, well, you know, Barack Obama wiretapped me, or, oh, that Hillary bitch, and, oh, the how dare Kathy, my Baron, missed Gravity Falls tonight. Oh. Like, whatever the fuck. And then I'm going to go do something awful again because they're going to move on. Like, that's exactly how racist bigots and all of these horrible motherfuckers have been getting away with the shit they've been getting away with since the dawn of this fucking country.
Yeah.
Well, not the end, I should say. The beginning of the end.
I just can't. Because
the country dawned way before then. It just didn't belong to white people.
Ain't that it. And I just don't see how you feel like... Again, you wanting to accept this sorry ass apology is your business, but encouraging all the rest of us to fall in line with your dumb ass who didn't even get paid for this tweet is absolutely unacceptable. And I will continue, like, please don't ever ask me about this, because I will say for the rest of my life, the dumbest part about this is that you did it for free. Absolutely, 100%. That man has millions of dollars and you caped for him on the internet gratis. Why? It makes no sense. Like, you're not helping the situation. And if I may move on to other bitches who get on my nerves, like I said, I was traveling this week. I was in a island in Puerto Rico where there's like no cell service and it's just a bunch of beaches and shit. And it was amazing and so nice. But I don't know what it is about airport bathrooms and women specifically, because obviously I'm not too familiar with what the men's room is like in the airport bathroom.
Horrible.
But you ladies who somehow managed to menstruate all over the toilet seat.
Okay,
I understand if you don't want to sit through that. But I walked into a stall in the airport I mean, and I've seen a lot of nastiness in airports. I've seen unflushed toilets full of all sorts of matter. And it's just, they frequently smell terrible. Even if they're clean, they smell like somebody just took a massive shit, which they probably did because they was on a plane for 4.5 hours and didn't want to do it in the airplane bathroom and waited all that time. Like, it happens a lot. But the other day in the airport, I don't know what this woman was going through. I really don't. I don't get it, because honestly, has never been a problem of mine. But there was just entirely too much blood left on the toilet seat for me to feel like you left out of this bathroom a dry person. Like, I just can't even believe it, because how did you leave all this on the toilet?
Oh my God.
It's one thing, and I get it. Sometimes you have a heavy period. Sometimes you have a bad period.
Oh my God.
You know, and you've been on a plane. Maybe that was an issue along with it. But how do you not get your nasty ass up, turn around and see blood, and not think, I need to clean this up? Like, how do you not do it? I already don't sit on public toilet seats because, ew. I already have extremely strong thigh muscles. I can squat for as long as necessary. And I have been doing that since childhood, because my mom has always said, you never know how nasty other women are. Not even just women, people, because a lot of these bathrooms are unisex. But specifically, when you bitches leave period blood all over the toilet, I don't get it. Because even if you had an accident, even if, I don't know, something spilled or whatever, I don't know, girl, what, I don't know your life, whatever happened, how did you not see it? How did you think, oh, somebody will come along? Like, really, bitch, your fucking blood? Are you fucking, bitch, your fucking eggs? Are you serious? If you'll clean that shit up, what is wrong with you? Ugh. Do better. Do better. Ugh. You want to be nasty at home in your toilet? You do that. You bleed all over the place at home. In public, you clean up after yourself, nasty ass bitch. That's it. I'm done.
You want to reference what you said? I mean, what you saw just one more time. I just don't feel like enough.
Well, because, I mean, honestly, I've seen pee on the seats enough time to just be like, bleh. But blood? Ugh. Like, that is just really... sis, and for it to be so much that I saw it like immediately upon, I have to go stare like, oh, is that blood? Like, walk into the stall like, is this Kill Bill? What happened in here? Like, oh no, young lady, how did you not clean it up? I don't get what. Oh, y'all have no shame. My God. Oh my God. Oh, I'm done. So that wraps up this week's episode of The Read. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. This is The Read. Check out thisistheread.com. And don't forget to check out our good friends over at Third Love for sponsoring today's episode. Thanks so much, you guys. They use real women's measurements to create bras that fit better. Available in sizes AA through G. I know I just cussed out a bunch of ladies, but if you don't take care of that, at least take care of your titties. Try one of Third Love's 24/7 bras free for 30 days. If it's not your new fave, return or exchange it for free. ThirdLove.com/read to get started with that 30-day trial. ThirdLove.com/read. What you got, Kid Fury?
I don't even know.
You don't have no news this week? Congrats on the tour. Congrats on Philly.
Thank you so much to everybody in Philly who came out to the show. I had a great time. Thanks to everybody who came to the panel at the Roots Picnic. That was lots of fun. Shout out to Toronto, DC, and Charlotte. I will see y'all this weekend for the last 3 shows of this tour. Heavenly Father, Lord. I speak your name in adoration and thankfulness.
You are so silly. I bet you've had so much fun.
So yeah, that's about it. And if you don't have a ticket, I know the DC is the DC show is sold out. As far as Aubrey World and North Carolina, I'm not sure yet, but go and check that out. And I'll see you guys when I get there. Also, 305 Live is happening at the end of the month here. You can go to fury305.com to get tickets for that if you want to come and be ghetto with us, DJ Queen of Spades and my good sis DJ Dimples from my hometown will be there. Also, huge shout out to Assad for blessing the world with a taste of Miami flavor with his new record To the Max featuring Drake. I know a lot of the Jersey girls seem to be quite upset. A lot of the Chicago girls seem to be quite upset. I've even heard some British girls are quite
really?
Upset. Yes, because, you know, lots of people feel like sound can be attributed to their hometowns. But it has been confirmed by Asad the Icon himself that this is a tribute to Miami, as you've seen in the many Juk clips that they've posted on their Instagrams.
Yeah.
So shout out to Dade County, to Broward County, surrounding areas. Honestly, we're here, we're lit, and it is what it is. Honestly, yeah. I've been trying to tell you bitches since 2009 or so what time it was. Now you know if you didn't before. And yeah, I just wanted to really take the time to say, Asad, I see what you're doing. I'm so appreciative.
I'm a fan.
You're truly an icon. One of the hardest working people in the business.
Loving and your covers.
I look up to you.
Loving all of your album art. Each one is classic. That little boy. What a life, man. I'm like, oh, just casually being held and kissed by Rihanna. No big deal. Cradled with cheese and next to Nas, like, oh yeah, you know, we've been friends for a long time. Like, how is this? He's so cute. He's just so adorable. Also, shout out to Beyonce, girl. I know you had them kids. I know you did.
Yeah, I know that the twins are here.
I know you did.
I don't know. Like, I guess were they born at 444 or was it like there's no?
I don't know. Maybe 444. Nikki said 444 might be the name of the joint album that they're going to drop. I don't know what it is. I don't know, but I just know in my heart that them kids are here.
Yeah, they're here.
You've been quiet for too long. Yeah. This team is posting less and less. Them kids are here.
They're here.
They're here.
They're spending time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And they should.
Before the big reveal.
Honestly, I think it would be hilarious if Beyonce was just like, okay, and just never posted again. Like, maybe in September. She'll be like, oh, yeah, casually had these kids 4 or 5 months ago. What's up, y'all? Like,
yeah.
I feel like she's just, I don't know. She's not thinking about us. I don't know. I don't know how we'll meet the children, but I await the day. You know, if you decide to go back on Tumblr, that's fine. Just whatever. I know they're here. I feel it.
I'm sure that, you know, their accountant is really rich at this point. I'm sure that the people over, what is it, ASCAP, probably know their name.
ASCAP. Oh, yes. The ASCAP. You don't want to know what I thought of when you said ASCAP. I thought you meant butt plug.
So,
Oh, God.
The acronym.
Did I tell you my dad figured out how to listen to this show?
R.I.P.
I know. Yeah, I kept it from a long time, but he said his students put him on.
Oh, that's even worse.
Thanks for selling me out, y'all. Really appreciate it. So, but yeah, what's the acronym?
C M B S.
Comb. No, that's not it. Create more badass shit.
It's actually Crystal Must Be Stopped.
What?
Because I'm just really tired of your stories.
What
of bodily
is this
fluids.
Attack?
Like, I just feel like every month or so you
That's
find
so
a way
mean.
To tell a story about someone's period or diuretic or something else or like a really bad
I was.
Smell.
Do you understand how traumatized I was? Like, do you get that? I was so.
You finished three. Like, you didn't have to add that.
I was so upset. Also, congratulations to Samantha Irby for being on the New York Times bestseller list. There's an acknowledgement of us in the back of that book that I love. It's so cute. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, she actually knows who we are. Like, she listens to this show. Like, she's a huge fan of yours.
Well, congratulations to her. If you don't sense the enthusiasm in my voice, it's only because I'm still thinking about your disgusting story.
Well, you should read Samantha's book because she goes into. All right. See y'all
anyway,
next week.
This episode was almost 2 hours, so I don't feel bad anymore.
Okay. Bye, y'all.